Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe here on a Wednesday, and every Wednesday at this time, we go down to Houston. Sports Radio 610, that's where you can find his work, sportsradio610.com. John McClain on the line with us. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your listeners.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you as well. So I've made the joke pretty much all week that now, I was fired up after the Titans got the win in Miami on Monday night, so I decided I'm going to go to the game on Sunday. No C.J. Stroud, which was a bummer. I wanted to see him play, but I figured I'd take it in. And, John, that's 3 hours of my life I'm never going to get back after that football game. But
Well, the first part was fun, 13-0 lead, pick yep. six. That was enjoyable. I thought while the Titans were coming off a miraculous victory at Miami, the Texans were coming off a shellacking at the Jets 30-6. And when it was 13-0, I thought, well, it's been a fun season. They're going to lose decisively again, especially when they didn't have C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. and their best linebacker, Blake Cashman, their right tackle, George Fant. And then their best run playing DB, Jimmy Ward, went down in the first quarter, so I wrote it off. And then, you know, when a team keeps kicking short field goals and scoring touchdowns, I kept tweeting, it's going to bite them in the butt. You can't do this and expect to win. And even though Devin Singletary rushed for 121 yards and the Texans rushed for 148, both those totals were their second biggest, it was the defense that stunned me. What they did to Derrick Henry after the way he just mauled them and humiliated them in the last five games, I was just shocked. I know everybody was. We've never seen the Texans not only tied their second most sacks, they've had seven, but they had the second most tackles for loss, 12, in their team history. And it seemed like Henry was getting the bulk of those hit in the backfield. And I felt sorry for him and Levis too, because, you know, they got big issues up front and they can, it's going to be, I know people will be fired up about the draft, and there's a lot of good offensive linemen. If they get one of the top two tackles, that'd be fantastic. But I was stunned the way it went. I was stunned at the Texans' comeback, and I was stunned that they won on a 50-yard field goal on the last play of overtime.
Jacksonville, Indy, and Houston all sit at 8-6, so all of them have a chance to win the AFC South right now. Based on what you have seen out of the Texans this year, I think we can agree they've maybe overachieved, but do you think that, you know, they're still a little bit a ways away from being an actual contender in the AFC?
Well, they're already a contender in the AFC because they're in first place. Now, I did a deep dive into their playoff picture in a column. All my columns are on sportsradio610.com, and about the three teams and their schedules and where they are in the division and the conference. And the Texans split with the Jaguars. Of course, they beat the Titans, play them again. They lost to the Colts here in the second game of the season, and they finish at Indy. And I think that game will come down to the winner will make the playoffs, because the Jaguars are reeling. And Trevor Lawrence is in the concussion protocol. C.J. Stroud is too. Stroud's going to miss the second consecutive game. Nobody has any idea if he'll be able to come back against the Titans in 2 weeks. Of course, everybody is hopeful that he can. So they're going to be playing with a backup quarterback. I doubt Will Anderson's going to play in this game against Cleveland. Cleveland comes in with a number one defense, number one pass defense. So both teams will shut down the other team's run. It'll come down to two old quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, who is a month away from his 39th birthday, and Case Keenum will be 36 early next year.
John, what was the reaction to your friends and neighbors in Houston as the Texans beat the Titans wearing the Oilers jerseys?
I got to tell you, Joe, people have known it all year, and they were mad about it before, and then to actually see it, and I love the Columbia Blue. I love the oil derrick, the end zones and everything, but the fans here were infuriated. they went ballistic here on social media, talk shows. Mike Vrabel came out as an insult to Bump Phillips. That's not why he did it. He did it as a tribute. But here people took it as an insult to the late, great Bump Phillips. And so I can't wait to see how the Titans are greeted here in 2 weeks, because people have just been furious. And the fact that the Texans won it the way they did, and as I tried to tell people here, Billy White Shoes Johnson went in the Ring of Honor, and a lot of players were there, including Earl Campbell, the greatest Oiler of them all. But they don't care. They just think it was so insulting, and they're mad at Amy Adams Strunk and everybody in the organization. And I told them, I said, now, you guys seem to think that they care about what people here think. They don't give a rat's, you know, what the Texans and the Houston fans think. They're doing it for their fans. And so I think it's great. This rivalry has never had the intensity and the ferocity that it should have, because both teams have not been good playing for something at the same time. We've seen one of them real good, but if it takes the uniforms and the helmets and the logos to help stick up, it causes rivalry to erupt, so be it. Now, hopefully both teams will be good in the future. It's like the Astros and the Rangers. The Astros have been great for the last 7 years, but the Rangers were terrible until this season, and those teams hate each other. And of course the Astros lost a chance to go to the World Series to the Rangers. And so this is about time that Houston and Nashville had a good old fashioned football rivalry.
Love it. John, we have a healthy debate going on right now on our text line with our listeners about Sunday's game. If Will Levis cannot go, do you start Malik Willis or do you start Ryan Tannehill? Chase is saying Tannehill. I say Willis. You've been on football a long time with teams eliminated. Who do you think the Titans should start?
Well, I think they probably already know Will Levis is the quarterback of the future, and I'm guessing Malik Willis will be the backup since they have team control for 2 more years. But they want to win. You know, it doesn't matter. Teams want to win. They don't care about losing and going, oh, yeah, if we lose, we're going to get a higher draft pick and a better chance to fortify our offensive line or our position players. So I'm saying Ryan Tannehill, let him do it.
Woo-hoo.
And Tannehill gives them the best chance to win. That's pretty clear to everybody.
John McClain agrees with me. That's all I need. That is all I need to get through the rest of my day, is for him to agree that Ryan Tannehill is the guy they need to go with. I mean, I'm with you. These guys don't subscribe to golf clubs in the trunk, shut it down, let's just get through the next three and then be done. No, they're going to go out and try and play spoiler. I mean, that game against Houston, if you know, Houston's very much still in it, I mean, I'd be nervous if I'm the Texans, because the Titans are going to want to spoil their opportunity.
They sure are. And Mike Vrabel, as we saw in Miami, he's certainly capable of igniting a victory like that. They came so close to winning this game and then to tying this game, and to lose the way they did leaves a bad taste in their mouth. It wouldn't surprise me if they don't bounce back and beat Seattle, especially if Tannehill's playing, because the Seahawks are coming off an emotionally charged victory that broke a losing streak on Monday Night Football against Philadelphia. So you might be catching them at the right time. And then when the Titans come back here, I know D'Amico Ryans will be doing everything he can to pump that team up and get it focused and not be thinking anything about what happened Sunday.
He is John McClain, joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. We'll have more with him coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 16 matchup against Seattle and give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, continuing our conversation with Houston's John McClain.
All right, John, I'm reading this morning about Arthur Blank commenting on Arthur Smith. He gave the old, we're going to let the season play out. You've covered enough press conferences and things like that to know this isn't good for Arthur Smith, is it?
He gone.
It's not, but I don't think he's God. I don't think Blank is quick on the trigger. They all know they need a quarterback. They didn't have enough. I think that they'll let Smith make a run at a quarterback this offseason, a legitimate one, whether it's a veteran who fits his system. People say Justin Fields would fit what Arthur Smith does, and as Desmond Ridder has been unable to do. The interception that Ridder threw Sunday that cost set up the last field goal drive. You play a game and you don't give up a touchdown and you lose. You know, that's pathetic. And they don't have a legitimate quarterback. So I don't know if they'd be interested in Justin Fields. Somebody will be. Bears will trade him, and then they'll draft Caleb Williams or Drake May. And so I do not think that he's gone after three seasons.
What about the Bill Belichick? Those rumors keep going hotter and hotter. I mean, I don't know if Robert Kraft pulls the plug on him, John.
I think he pulls the plug and they let him walk away with dignity. I don't think they'll hold his feet to the fire and try to trade him and get picks for another team. But can another team just say, no, you got him for another season? I think if Kraft were going to bring back Belichick with all this constant, incessant speculation up there, one story by a longtime guy's cover, the team said he's out. The decision was made when they lost in Europe. And another one comes back last week and says the decision has not been made. Well, all we know is one of them's going to be right. But Kraft could have put an end to all this distraction if he had just said, Bill will be back next season. He hasn't done it. I think he's gone.
John McClain is with us. Okay, here's the other one. And this is an organization that they don't fire coaches, but I feel like that Mike Tomlin's seat might be warmer than it usually would be. Do you think that that's accurate?
Absolutely. I know Peter King mentioned that just in a one-liner in his Football in America column on Monday. But anybody that can see, they're headed what could be the first losing season under Tomlin. They've got players like George Pickens who are not putting out. They need to get rid of those guys. You know, that is not the way they do business in Pittsburgh. You know, they put up with Antonio Brown behind the scenes all those years because he was productive. He was Big Ben's favorite target. And they haven't had a legitimate quarterback. I don't know anybody that thinks Kenny Pickett should be the guy. And Tomlin has total control there. They may say, okay, Mike, you need to turn this around next season. And so it wouldn't surprise me, but if he were to get fired, he'd have a job within hours.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my follow-up because I feel the same way that, no, like, especially if I'm a team like the Chargers and I know Harbaugh has been linked to him, linked to them, but if they see that Mike Tomlin's out there, that's where I'd go.
I think that very, very seldom do you go defensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. I think that the Chargers, they don't want to give total control to somebody. I think they're more in line to go after Ben Johnson, the top coordinator from Detroit. That's still a really good job because you have your quarterback not just in place but under contract. You can build around him. Chargers have some good players on both sides of the ball. Brandon Staley has just been terrible. It's probably good that Justin Herbert got hurt because it's nothing that's going to take a lot of rehab. And so he'll be ready to go for the offseason program. And I think they'll go offensive. The key is would Mark Davis do it? Would he reach out and give him total control? I don't think the Bears would, although the Bears are trying to get a new stadium. When you're trying to get a new stadium, you do things you might not ordinarily do, which is hire a big name, make a splash to get people fired up. You know, say they offered Tomlin that job and they had the first overall pick and took Caleb Williams, and people would be so excited they might get the kind of tax money they're looking for. But the one that I guarantee you he's not going, no established coach is going to go to Carolina because of David Tepper.
No, not at all. We were talking about Seattle earlier. Obviously, they come into Nashville this weekend. How long do you see Pete Carroll wanting to do this? I think we've all been surprised over the last couple of years with Geno Smith and the success that they've had, but he still seems like he's having fun.
Pete Carroll's the oldest coach in the NFL. He's older than Bill Belichick. And he has this youthful exuberance, the way he is on the sideline, the way he is in the office. You know, he's still got all of his hair, and he still moves around fast. And he is, if you watch him, you might think, you know, he's 20 years younger, but he's eating it up. Guys like Pete Carroll, excuse me, and Bill Belichick, they don't walk away on their own.
John, a few weeks ago, Chase and I were like, all right, the Buffalo Bills, that window's closed. Little do we know, we don't know anything. And now that might be the hottest team in football. I know they got a new OC in there, but what do you think the difference is in this football team now besides the OC that's come in there?
I tell you this, Joe, I think that the story, the series of stories in the GoLong.com, a long-form publication, Tyler Dunn, who covered them for years, dead 3 weeks ago, just tearing McDermott apart with a lot of anonymous quotes and stats about he's the problem. The players rallied around him. I think that helped galvanize the team emotionally. And then having Joe Brady emphasize the running game as much as he has. They killed the Cowboys with Josh Allen not throwing even 100 yards. He had a great quote afterward. I feel I've been part of a class project, and I didn't do anything, and I got an A. And I think, man, that nobody wants to play the Bills right now. Nobody. And right now it's the Texans are the first team out of the playoffs and the Bills are second. And I'll guarantee you everybody's hoping that Buffalo does not get in the playoffs.
John, after watching Lamar Jackson Sunday night and what he did against the Jaguars, I mean, can we finally put him in a different category that he is actually a very good quarterback?
Oh, he's been a very good quarterback. He's just been hurt the last 2 years. He's won one playoff game. And if he wants, people get so angry when people don't say he's a great quarterback. He is a great quarterback, but he's got to win in the playoffs. He's won one game. He was an MVP early in his career, but he is so dangerous. He hadn't had a great season throwing the ball, but he's made a lot of big plays. And right now they're the AFC favorite to go to the Super Bowl. And we're watching what very well could be a Super Bowl preview in Santa Clara on Sunday or Monday.
Well, John, appreciate it as always. Again, Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much as always. Same to you.
He is John McClain. Joins us every Wednesday at 9:30 for 30 minutes, and always enjoy these conversations with him. SportsRadio610.com is where you can read his work. And coming up next, we'll continue our question of the day. Is it Tannehill or Malik Willis if Will Levis can't go? Tim Hasselbeck, newly appointed head coach at Innsworth, an ESPN analyst, commented on that very subject yesterday on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. You'll hear what he had to say next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.